Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com, beaconbaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We are, as you know, examining Paul's prayer for the Colossian church in Colossians chapter 1. He not only prayed for them and not only told them that he remembered them in his prayers, but he actually records for them a prayer that he prays for them. He gives them the very words of his prayer, prayed on their behalf, for them to not only appreciate the fact that he does pray for them, but for them and us. Scripture is written for us, this is in our Bible, for them and us to learn some important lessons about prayer. Very, very helpful to examine this prayer of the Apostle Paul, and there's much that we can learn from it. And we have come now to the fourth petition, which is a petition that the Colossians will render thanksgiving to God. At first, a rather strange petition, because we don't normally make that petition, I don't think. But Paul does, and there's a lot to learn there. And so we have examined, first of all, the significance of thanksgiving, how terribly important this matter of giving thanks is. It is far more important than we might at first realize. It is commanded. It is an indicator of our spiritual condition. We have secondly noticed the object of our thanksgiving, and of course we would understand that the object of our thanksgiving is God, but Paul makes it clear that specifically our prayers are directed to God the Father. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And we spent quite a bit of time in the broadcast yesterday turning over in our thoughts that particular focus, why prayer is directed to God the Father rather than to, say, God the Son. And we learned yesterday that even in the matter of salvation, though we generally focus upon what Christ did for us in salvation, it is God the Father who initiated what Christ did for us. He planned this work of redemption, and he gave his Son. And so our thanksgiving is properly directed to him first and foremost. But we have two more items to examine. We'll have to move on to them after I welcome you to this Wednesday, November 18 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and after I remind you that we depend upon your financial gifts to remain on this station. We come, number three, to the manner of our thanks. First, the significance of our thanks. Secondly, the object of our thanks. But now the manner of our thanks. Is there any particular way that we are to render thanksgiving to God? And this lesson depends upon the peculiarities of the Greek language. Now, when I read verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, I don't really see anything that stands out to me that would tell me anything about the way we give thanks, the manner of our giving thanks. But I have studied this text sufficiently to know that there is a modifier that is, in my Bible, placed in verse 11 rather than verse 12, but probably ought to be in verse 12. And what is that? It is the last two words of verse 11, which say, with joy. there where Paul's petition had to do with praying for spiritual power, strength, might, God's glorious power given to those who are endeavoring to follow God's commands. Paul attaches, or somebody, whoever did the verse divisions, attached that last phrase with joy to that particular petition. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and longsuffering with joy. And that makes sense. We can understand it that way, that we should pray that God will give us the strength to persevere under trials with patience, that is, patient endurance, and long-suffering with joy. But actually, the more you look at that, the more it seems to be a little bit strange, the way that phrase with joy is attached to long-suffering. And I just simply tell you that most Bible scholars believe that that should be attached to the beginning of verse 12 rather than the end of verse 11. So what it really is probably saying is, with joy giving thanks to the Father, who is qualified as to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That modifier with joy could modify patience and long-suffering, as we've already seen. It's not inappropriate and it's not impossible from a grammatical standpoint, but it may just as well modify the giving of thanks in verse 12, and though true and appropriate either way, the majority of Bible scholars that I read, the commentaries that I read on this passage, believe that it is better attached to verse 12. So with that in mind, I think this does tell us the manner of our giving thanks, with joy giving thanks to the Father. And here's what we are told. In our giving of thanks, our thanksgiving should be joyful thanks, not routine thanks, not perfunctory thanks, not rote thanks, not liturgical thanks that is not coming from the heart, but rather joyful thanks. And surely the more we understand the gospel, the more we understand the different aspects of the gospel, the more we understand our need of the gospel and what a great rescue the gospel of Jesus Christ has worked out in our lives, the greater surely will be our joy. The more we feel our debt of sin, the greater will be our joy. Remember, Jesus said something like, to whom much is given, much shall be, or to whom much is forgiven, they will be most thankful. Those who are forgiven little have little thanks. Those who are forgiven much have large thanks, great thanks. And this woman, whose sins are many, is filled with thanksgiving and joyful thanksgiving. That really goes back to Luke chapter 7 that I'm making reference to here. But maybe it would be helpful if I would take a moment and go back and recall that portion and these words of Jesus Christ, because this is a very important lesson when it comes to the rendering of thanks. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 5,000 denarii, the other 50. Well, it's not the woman. I got the wrong situation here, but it goes on, verse 42. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman, it was the woman, here it is, and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Well, there's a wonderful and powerful lesson in those words. And though in that particular case, in reading that passage, we don't see any specific reference to joy, I think you get the idea, and you can see how that is appropriate in this situation. There is the perfunctory giving of thanks, which represents not very enthusiastic thanks, because the person who's giving it doesn't really feel the debt of gratitude, the enormity of the thanks that they ought to feel. So Simon, who didn't feel like he had been given much by Christ, didn't demonstrate much thanksgiving, only very little. I suppose inviting him to a feast in his house was some expression of thanks, but the way he went about it was so mechanical, so perfunctory, so lacking in enthusiasm and emotional content, that there certainly seemed to be something greatly lacking in the way he rendered thanks to Christ. But this woman, oh my, how she poured out her thanksgiving to Christ, because she knew herself to be a great sinner, and she was filled with gratitude for the mercy that he had shown to her. And so she gave thanks with great enthusiasm, and that would correspond to what we see here in the idea of joy. With joy, giving thanks to the Father. There is a proper way to give thanks, or maybe I should say a better way to give thanks. I would recommend giving thanks in any way whatsoever. You know, sometimes we just do need to virtually make ourselves do what we don't necessarily feel like doing. But when that's true, we should recognize this is not where I ought to be. It's better than not rendering thanks at all. But why don't I feel more thanks as I say these words of thanks? Surely there's something lacking in my understanding. Surely there's something lacking in my appreciation. Surely there's something lacking in my sense of gratitude, because there's something lacking in my sense of how great was my need, how large was my debt, how great was my sin that I have been forgiven of by the Lord Jesus Christ, initiated by God the Father. So, yes, giving thanks at all is better than no thanks, but how much better to give thanks with joy, with enthusiasm, with great expressions, obvious, clear expressions of grateful praise and gratitude. How much better to render thanks that way? There is a better way. Any way is better than no way. But with joy is the better way to render your thanksgiving to God. And therefore, as we give God thanks, let us pray that we'll not only render him the thanks that is due unto him, but that we shall do it with joyful hearts, with engaged emotions, and with enthusiasm that is born out of an understanding of how great is the grace that has come to us. Let us with joy render thanks to the Father. That will honor him. Until tomorrow, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.